Well, I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm just going to tell you honestly, I could have gotten into a little bit of trouble in that prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. You look at me like, what do you mean? I mean, we could have gotten into some stuff. Hallelujah. There's some Jack in there. Glory to God. God is with us. God, and I don't mean Jack is in a guy. Amen. I'm not saying Jack is another part of the Godhead. Amen. I mean, I was feeling jacked. Hallelujah. But there, you know, there's things that, you know, the best way to do things is by the Spirit. Hallelujah. This is why we're not just a word church. We are a spirit church. And the word and the spirit work together. They work in conjunction with one another. Amen. And when you have the balance of the word with the spirit, you get good stuff. Amen. You will pray prayers that are effective. You will pray prayers that are needed. You will know exactly what to pray. You will know exactly what to do, because that's just how good our God is. Amen. I love the Lord. I love what he's doing. I love the Spirit of God. You know, I was saying I spent, you know, every Saturday I endeavor, and not just Saturday, obviously, but every Saturday I specifically set aside Saturday to spend time with the Lord. Amen. And you know, it's just such an awesome honor to be able to get to do that. We need to do that. You know, we're not held to the law by those standards anymore. But you know, God did ordain a day of rest for good purpose. Amen. And so we need to make sure that we're taking that day of rest. We're taking time. And not just taking it, not just to take a nap, amen, naps are good, naps are fine, but not just to do that, but to spend time with God. Hallelujah. You know, I'll never downplay naps. Naps are a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. But spending time with God, that's where the rest is. Amen. Praise God. And we got some things to get into tonight, and I'm excited for it. I hope you are too. Praise the Lord. Tonight's message is called Embracing Truth. Hallelujah. Embracing Truth. And we're going to be talking about things that are true. Amen. Yeah. One of the things that is most true is the Word of God. Amen. That is the truth. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, 130. That's a big psalm. Amen. Psalm 119, 130. Hallelujah. You know, it is so important as Christians that we embrace the truth. One of the things that I see that kind of plagues Christianity sometimes is the fact that people don't always embrace the truth. They embrace religion, they embrace ideas of man, but they don't embrace the truth. We want to make sure that we are Christians that are being the most effective Christians we can be. And we're only going to do that when we embrace God's truth. It's not about what we desire. It's not about what we want. It's not about what we thought. It's about what God says. Amen. And that's why whenever I teach anybody, you know, whenever I talk to somebody, I always bring them back to the same thing my pastor always said to me. I would sit down with monthly mentoring meetings with my pastor. Yes, I mentored monthly with him because I wanted to get somewhere, and that was the way I did it. Not just in church, but I mentored with him, amen. And I still mentor with him, amen. And I still mentor with Pastor Michael. So I haven't given up on mentoring. That's just free, no charge, but that's, you know, that'll help you, amen. But I mentored with him because he had things I knew, recognized that he had things in my life that were going to help me. And how they were going to help me is through that desire of mine to connect to him and say, you know what, I want what you got. Praise the Lord. And so I would sit down with my pastor, and I would always come with questions. And it wasn't questions about his favorite football team or his favorite slice of pie, although I know that stuff now. Amen. We learned that through fellowship over the years. But that's not the important stuff. That's not the stuff I cared about. What I wanted to know about is what he knows that I don't know. Amen. And so I would sit down with him and I would say, Pastor, what do you know that I don't know? And I'd ask him questions about certain things. And sometimes I even ask him questions about things I've already asked him. You know why? Because I just want to get into it again. I just want to know again. Amen. I don't pretend I know. I just, what do you have to say about this? You know, I just want to hear what you have to say about it again. Praise God. I'm just helping you here. There's a lot of teaching in this. I just let you know. But I'd sit down and ask him, and he would, every time I ask him a question, he would always say the same thing to me. What? Let's see what the Word says. He always brought it back to the Word. How did I know I could trust my pastor? Number one, first and foremost, because he always brought it back to the light of God's Word. It wasn't his idea of what kind of faith we were in, what kind of name was on our door, what kind of rituals we followed. It was based on the Word of God. I got my training through the Word of God as it was imparted by another man, men and women of God, faithful men and women of God, and I have never given up on it. I've never given up on it. Amen. You never go to a point. Praise the Lord. First of all, the Bible tells us that the teacher is always is always higher than the student. The student never surpasses the teacher, amen. And if God has given you divine connections, it's for a reason, amen. It's to help you. It's to bless you. It's to take your life somewhere. But you have to decide to tap into that. This was not my message tonight, but this is what we're kind of running on, because this is kind of where the Spirit is leading, amen. But, you know, God wants to help us, but he can't help us if we don't connect to it. Praise the Lord. If we don't receive those things from God, then we're not going to receive the things from God. If we won't receive the basic things he's given us. Now listen, you say, well, I'm in church. I listen to you preach. That's not the same as receiving, amen? Because you can be in church and you can hear the message week in and week out and you can still not receive a thing. And how? Because your attitude, your heart towards it, amen? Praise the Lord. I was with Pastor Michael recently and you know, he was here and I had to do a lot of entertaining. We went to lunches. It wasn't a chore at all. It was a joy, amen? But we got to go to a lot of lunches and dinners and stuff with him. And you know what we did the entire time we were with him? We asked questions. The entire time, we got into the cookie jar. We got into things that, man, praise the Lord. Like he said, we got into things that he hasn't talked to anyone else about. Praise the Lord. I'll take that. I want that. Amen. Because there's knowledge in there. There's things in there that have helped my life. Amen. So at any rate, we were, where was I going with that? Do you know where I was going with that? You probably, yeah, we were, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that. Well, praise the Lord. It'll come to me if it's important. If not, it doesn't matter. But you know, it's important that you learn that flow of things. You know, when you understand that God will bless you according to what you will receive from Him, amen. And He will take you higher in that. And this doesn't not go along with what I'm preaching on today. It doesn't, and maybe God will take it in other directions. We'll be open to that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. See, it's so much better to pastor according to the Spirit, because I ain't got to figure all this stuff out. It's so much better to live as a Christian according to the Spirit, because you ain't got to figure it all out. That's what I love about God. He said, take upon you my yoke, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Why did he say that? Because his yoke is easy, his burden is light. In other words, if it's not light and easy, it isn't God. If it's not light and easy, it isn't God. If you're struggling, if it's like constantly this battle back and forth, it isn't God. You need to understand that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You need to realize that God is doing things in us, and He will do them according to, praise God, hallelujah. Lord, I will follow you wherever you take me. Praise the Lord. But He will do things in us. He wants to do things in us, but so often we're struggling with things, amen, back and forth, that God never meant us to struggle with. I've always got a kick out of people say to me, they're like, the devil's after me. Yeah, he's after everybody, who cares? Doesn't matter that he's after you. Quit focusing on the fact that the devil is after you. That's what his job is, if you want to look at it that way. He's doing his job well. He's after you, amen. But the Bible says that you stand above. You know, he's been placed under your feet, amen. That you've been given victory over him. Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Amen. Praise the Lord. John 16:33 says, "It says these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world." Amen. I've already overcome it. In the Amplified Version, it says, "I have deprived it of its power to harm you." I have deprived it of its power to harm you. If a Christian is walking around defeated, it is not because of God. Amen. So we want to glean from the things of God. We have to understand things. And a lot of that has to do with our relationship to everything that God has connected us with. Amen. Everything that God has connected us with is important in our lives. It includes the people that we're connected to. It includes the church that we're connected to. It includes the pastor that we're connected to and how we connect to that. Amen? We recently learned this even more so. You know, Pastor Michael is the apostle over the family churches. I'm so thankful for Pastor Michael. I am so thankful for him. And I've learned even more, especially after this last time he was here, the need for us to not not just connected, but be all in connected to that. Amen. Not that we weren't before, but I'm just saying that there's always a greater level that we can get to. Amen. And so we want to glean from those things that God has connected, because what we have to understand is this: where God has connected us is our life blood. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Amen. I am the vine, you are the branches. If Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, that tells us something. The connection matters. Amen. Now, there's an order of the connection, and we have to understand that. God has placed, you know, he's hooked. You know, this is the thing. There's a lot of churches in Cory. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of churches everywhere. Yeah. But God sent us here. Yes. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. God sent us here. There's a lot of churches. Yeah. If you're sitting here today, you're sitting here in a church that God sent to you to do something. You understand what I mean? That we're not just here having church. See, there's a lot of churches that can just have church. We're not about just having church. We're not just about like, well, we need to have another church service. Believe me, it's not about that. I've got things that are burning in my heart, glory to God, and we'll get into them in due time, in the right timing. You know, the Bible tells us that there is a time and a season for everything. You know, if you look in Ecclesiastes, I am sharing a lot of scripture with you. I just might not go to all the exact scripture references. But Ecclesiastes, I think it's Ecclesiastes 3, it tells us there is a time to every purpose under heaven. Amen. We know that there's a song that says that too, but they just copied the Bible. But you know, God says that there's a time to every purpose under heaven, a time for this and a time for that. And then it goes on in that section of scriptures and gives you all the things that there's a time for. There's a time for love, hate, a time for war, peace, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. Come on, we're all singing together, amen. I know you're singing in your head, praise the Lord. But it's scripture, it's the Bible, it's what the Bible says, amen. But we know this, that when in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, where the Bible tells us when the day of Pentecost had fully come, when the day, he said, Jesus said to them, the disciples, he said, go into Jerusalem and wait, tarry and wait for the day of Pentecost is essentially what he was saying, because my spirit is coming upon you. It didn't come upon him that day, amen? That's something important to know, that there was a time period that God was going to do something, and that day was coming. And then when people were in the right place, in the right way, in the right place, what happened? The spirit was poured upon them, and they received what God had for them. There are times and seasons for everything. To everything, there is a season, a time and a season to every purpose under heaven. Amen. This is what we have to understand. Listen, if you are in the will of God and you are not seeing as much as you know, if you're in the will of God and you're not seeing certain things, there's several reasons why it can happen, but only a few reasons. And this is the thing I tell people often when I counsel them. I'm like, you can counsel, you can understand that there's very few reasons why something happens. You can get to the answer that people need very quickly just by weighing a few different things. In fact, God does this with my own life and with your lives. If you've ever counseled with me or asked me a question, God's done this over and over and over again. He always brings me to the reasons. Amen? And when we get to the reasons, then we have our answer. Because God is always a God of answers. Amen? Praise the Lord. The devil is a God of questions. God is a God of answers. And so we have to understand that. We have not been given the Holy Spirit to, you know, so often. John 16:13, praise the Lord, says that however when he, or Jesus, when we go back to verse 12, it says, Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, however you cannot bear them now. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will lead you, guide you, he will lead you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he speaks, and he will tell you things to come. In the King James, it actually, that word tell also means, it says show. Show, tell, show and tell, praise the Lord. We did show and tell together, so we might as well just have show and tell with the Holy Ghost, amen? He can show and tell me anything he wants. But the Holy Ghost's job is to show us things to come. It's to tell us things that we don't know. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. See, sometimes some things that we want to get into, we ain't ready for. Yeah. Sometimes things that we want to know, we ain't ready for. We don't have the knowledge enough. We don't have the character enough to be able to carry that thing. Amen. And Jesus isn't going to give you. In Proverbs 10:22, says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. What does that mean? It means that He isn't going to give you something that is going to put sorrow on your plate. He will only allow you to. God has great and mighty things for you. He has treasures. Is it Jeremiah? Is it 33:3? It says, "Call unto me, and I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know." I think it's somewhere around there. But you know, God wants to show us things that we don't know. He wants to show us things that get us into things. And when God's showing us things, you have to understand that the Bible tells us there in John 16 as well. It goes on to tell us that He will declare to us what is the Lord's. And the reason He declares us to that is because we are heirs with Him. And if we are heirs with Christ, then what is declared to us, or was declared to us that is the Lord's, is what's declared to us that is ours. But see, here's the thing. God can have things for you, but you ain't ready for them now. Amen? Case in point. I've got a 10-year-old daughter here. Beautiful little girl. Praise the Lord. What will I not do? I will not give her the keys to my truck. Why? She is not ready for it. She is not capable of maneuvering and doing all the things that she hasn't been trained in that area. She hasn't been raised up in the area. However, I give my boys the keys to my truck anytime. Why? Because they've been trained in that way. Amen. The point that I'm making is that the same thing with God. He isn't going to lay things on our plate that we're not ready for, that we're not capable of carrying. Amen. He's not going to lay things on our plate that we can't walk out. Hallelujah. He isn't going to lay things on our plate that we're going to end up dropping and breaking. He isn't going to bring us into those things. And so God brings us into things in the right timing when we follow Him. And that's the key. You know, when we go to Romans 8:14, it talks to us about being as many as are led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. Amen. The children of God. And so we understand that God is leading us into all truth. He is leading us into all the things that He has for us to get into. Amen. But we have to be willing to go. We have to be willing to receive. We have to be those who are willing, and we have to be willing to be patient. Because some things we're not ready for. I said some things we ain't ready for. There's some things you think, well, I can handle it, but you can't handle it. And the thing is God knows. And if you're following God closely, you will have what you can handle in the right timing if you're following Him closely, if you're connected to Him. So we have to be willing not to be afraid of where we're at. We have to be justified in where we're at, knowing, praise the Lord, that our conscience is bearing witness to the truth. Amen. The Bible tells us our conscience will bear witness to the truth, that we are sons of God, we are children of God. Amen. That we are heirs. The Bible will bear that witness, or the Bible says that our spirits will bear witness. Well, your spirit will bear witness to a lot of things. Your spirit will bear witness to your calling. Your spirit will bear witness to your direction. Your spirit will bear witness to your location. Your spirit will bear witness to your fellowship. Your spirit will bear witness to what you watch on TV or what you listen to on the radio or what you hear from other people. Praise the Lord. I said what you hear from other people. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me. Let's go to, yes, hallelujah. Is that in here? I was probably going to preach on that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, turn with me to Mark 4:21. Praise God. There's a lot happening in this service that you don't even realize. Maybe you do, I don't know. But you just understand that the Spirit of the Lord is helping us here with some things. God wants us into the truth. He wants us in the truth. Amen. He wants us to know the truth. The truth is the word, but the truth extends past the word. Now let me qualify that. I'm not saying that there's more things that are truths, but I'm saying there are truths that are truths as well. And their basis can be found in the word, but they might not be specifically mentioned in the word. Praise the Lord. For example, it is a truth that I am married to my wife, and it is a good thing that I am married to Renee. It's a truth. Amen. And it's a truth that it's good. There is nothing in the scripture that told me to marry this fine looking young woman over here. Nothing in scripture that told me to marry her. But there is scripture that tells me that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. That doesn't mean he who marries finds a good thing. He who finds a wife, a godly wife. You know, in context, we have to read the Bible in context. The Bible is not saying that any old wife will be a good wife. Praise the Lord, I was married before. I know that ain't true. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. I ain't talking bad about her. I'm just saying that, like, you know, there's a difference between being married right and being married wrong. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Then don't worry, she ain't going to watch this anyway. But praise the Lord. I'm just a joke. It's a joke. Hallelujah. It's funny, you know. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody's mad about it. I could just sense it out there in the ether. Somebody's, can you believe he said that? He can't. Well, listen, hey, praise the Lord. You know, I would, praise God, hallelujah. But at any rate, you know, the scripture guides us. We have to understand. We got to be wise. We got to be wise about things that we do. You know, people will do things that they want to do, and then they'll put God on it because they feel good. Because it feels good in the time or whatever, but it ain't the truth of the Lord. It isn't the truth of the Lord, and we know that because it's against what the Scripture says. Praise the Lord. You know, recently we were counseling someone on some things, and, you know, one of the things we said is that whatever is around you needs to thrust you into the plan of God. If it's not thrusting you in the plan of God, then it is detracting from you, it is taking away from you, and it is stopping you from fulfilling what God has for you. And so the Bible says to lay aside every weight and sin, so not all weights are sin, and not all sin is weights. Praise the Lord. But it says lay aside every weight that so easily ensnares you or entangles you. Praise the Lord, and run with endurance the race that is set before you. Hallelujah. Well, we have to understand that there are things in life that are weights. That aren't necessarily sin. Praise God. Thank you for it. There are things in life that are weights that aren't sin. I said they're not sin. What does it do? A weight does. It keeps you from running the race with endurance that is set before you. If you are a Christian who does not know what race is set before you, then you aren't going to know what weights you got to carry and what weights you can lay down. You got to know what God's called you to. Jeremiah 29:11 wasn't just written to make us happy. Thank God for it. Makes me happy. Does it make you happy? I hope so. It should make you happy. But it wasn't just written to read it and give us hope in the sense that we're going to, oh, it makes me feel better. Okay, I can go on with my day. No, it's written to tell us that God's got a purpose and a plan for you. He's got purpose and plan for you. Amen? In that purpose and plan is wrapped up everything you need. But guess what? The devil knows sometimes if you've been going to church faithfully and you're not going to be offended and you've been coming and you've been serving and you've been giving, you've been doing all the things that you're called to do and you've been reading your Bible and you've been praying all this stuff that we preach all the time. And I know there's many people out there in our churches that are doing it. Guess what the devil knows? He ain't going to stop you from doing it. So what will he do? He's going to try to slow you down. So what's he going to do? He's going to start hanging weights on you. He's going to start putting things on you that slow you down. He's going to put this before you and put that before you. You know, when Jesus was tempted, hallelujah. Yeah. I said when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, Satan came to tempt the Son of God in the wilderness, hallelujah. And how did he tempt him? How did he tempt him? Through his affections, through his feelings. You know, he, the Bible says that he was hungry, so the devil tried to tempt him with food. He tempts you with your need. Do you understand that? Jesus came to places where he was suffering lack in the sense that lack was presented before him. But what did Jesus do? He always dealt with the lack. Do you deal with the things that come before you? Do you deal with the things that try to slow you down? You know what lack is? It's trying to slow you down. It's trying to say, well, now you got to focus on this, so you can't focus on this, this, and this. If you're dealing with lack, guess what? You're just up there with Jesus. Right in line with Jesus. Jesus said that the servant isn't better than the master. Praise the Lord. If he dealt with lack, we're going to deal with lack. Why? Because there's a devil that wants to steal from you. So what does he do to Christians? Gets them convinced that lack is where they got to be. Gets them convinced that lack is where they're going to be. See, there's a difference, amen. There's a difference between running with God and running with God with knowledge. Amen? Because you can run, you can think you're running with God and not have knowledge. The Bible says, do not be ignorant of his devices. Again, I don't know all the scriptures right off the top of my head. I'm doing the best I can. But I'm following the Spirit on this, and this is helping us. Amen? There's stuff in here that we need to get. Do not be ignorant of his devices. What does the devil do? When he can't stop you, he's going to try to slow you down. You decide whether or not you're going to be somebody who will be slowed down. How? Lay aside every weight and sin, which so easily ensnares us, entangles us. What are the weights that entangle us? What keeps us from being thrust forward into the plan of God? What's the plan of God? What's the plan of God in your life? You say, well, Pastor Jeff, I don't know that. Well, you came to the right place tonight. Praise the Lord. Why? Because God will connect you. The first thing God will do is he'll connect you with the Word, connect you with his Son. Amen? It's the first thing God does. Connects you with his Son. His Spirit leads. His Spirit. One of the jobs of the Holy Ghost is to lead men to that place of conviction and of knowledge of that they need Savior. Amen. Of right and wrong, and so it leads people to that. And then to his Son. Then you get saved. Then what's the next thing God does? Well, he puts his Spirit on the inside of you, which is great. But then he'll lead you to a church. He'll lead you to a body to be connected to. And he'll lead you to a pastor to be connected to. Why does God do that? Well, we know the role of the pastor is for the equipping of the saints, and the role of the body is to flow life blood into the various parts of the body. Again, if I take my hand and I cut it off and I throw it over in the corner, it will get to the point where it's not very good. And that's exactly the same way as God, when we're separated from the body. So God leads us in this order. So he leads us there. We get to that place. Now what does the devil do? The devil doesn't like that you got that far. Yeah. Amen? But he's going to try to stop you from going further. So now he starts hanging weights on you. He will find your affections. He will find your emotions. He will find the things that you desire. He watches. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. He's seeking whom he may devour. And so he tries it. He'll hang a weight on. Praise the Lord. And what somebody will do is they'll say, well, that weight must be mine. So I'll carry it. And then that weight must be mine. I love it when Christians say to me, I've had this happen to me many times. Oh, that I just take so many people's cares. I just carry so many people's cares. And you're a fool. Yeah. God has never called you to do that. You say, why are you calling people fool? Because you are a fool. Yeah. God has not called you to carry the weight of anything. He said, take upon you what? My yoke. He said, come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Amen? See, there's something important we have to understand in the scripture. We have to look at the scripture for what it says. He says, take my yoke upon you. Don't take the yoke of somebody else. Do you know what people do when they come to you complaining? They're trying to put a yoke on you. Yes, they don't even know it, but they're trying to put a yoke on you. Yeah. This is a weight that will ensnare you. Wow. And if you don't cast that worry aside, if you don't throw those things aside, then what you do is you enter into sin. And when you enter into sin, you're getting entrapped. The Bible says don't be ensnared. Snared like an animal that's caught in a trap. Amen? We've seen that before. We understand that concept. That's what the devil's trying to do. Why? Because an animal that's in a trap is not running free. And same thing with a Christian who's in a trap. They aren't running free. Yeah. So many Christians are trapped in their minds by things that God never intended them to be trapped by. You will be trapped by your affections. You will be trapped. Listen, it's not wrong to have emotions. And affections, of course, we have those. Enjoy those. But we don't be controlled by them. They don't stop us from doing the plan of God. They don't stop us from finding out what God has for us and getting into the fullness of where God wants to take us. It doesn't stop us. We choose that, though. You know, so many places in the Bible, and I don't know if I'll get to any of it today. Praise the Lord. Well, let me just read this to you. 1 John 1:5 says, this is a message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. But notice that the walking part is on our end. We choose what we walk in and what we don't walk in. We choose it. We decide. When God presents something to you, you decide whether you walk it out or not. But so many people, they cast these things aside because what they do is they get focused on the things in life and not the plan of God. More and more, just this afternoon, I was telling my wife on the way down here, the Lord was dealing with me, lighten the load that we put on ourselves. I told my son today, I said, there's some things in life as Christians that we do that we won't, some things that we'll give up that we will never touch again here on earth. You understand that? There are some sacrifices we make as a Christian. There are sacrifices you will make that you may never pick up again. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'll say this, truly a Christian who's in the plan and will of God, they probably are not going to be famous. They are probably not going to have big, you know, they're not going to be on a major football team. They're not going to be famous singers. They're not going to be out there doing, famous artists or anything like that. Why is that? Because that all that stuff detracts from the plan of God. I said all that stuff detracts from the plan of God. I'm not saying that there can't be Christians that are singers, or singers can't be Christian, or that football players can't be Christian, or the baseball players can't. Of course they can be. But there's a difference between being a Christian and being a Christian who's fully submerged in the plan of God, who's yoked to Jesus. Praise the Lord. See, when we're yoked to Jesus, the plan is light and easy. When we're yoked to Jesus, we can move through life swiftly in the way that we ought to. And if we're not moving through life that way, then we're not completely yoked to the Lord. We're being yoked to other things. We're picking up those weights, and they're slowing us down. I said they're slowing us down. The devil's purpose, his plan, his trials, the reason he throws everything he can throw at you, is to slow you down. And you have to decide, do I want to be slowed down? Some people, they slow right down to the point where they can't. Some people slow so down, so far down that they almost don't even look like they're moving. Yeah. Sometimes they're sliding backwards. Yeah. You know, I get this, this image in my head of where I've seen it before, maybe on one of those shows or something one time, those competitive, like, you know, obstacle course shows or something. But I get this picture of either an icy or slippery slope. And somebody, you know, piling on weight, more and more weight. Actually, you know, I know they do that with, the trucks. They have those trucks, and they have those trailers on the back of the truck that has a sliding bed of weight. Have you ever seen that? And as that slides up, it gets harder and harder to pull, and it slows that truck down until it finally stops. That's what the devil is trying to do to us. He's piling things on us that God didn't meant to have. See, God, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. And he adds no sorrow to it. The blessing of the Lord making one rich is not just making you financially rich, but I'll tell you, the most wealth that I have is not in my wallet. It's not in my bank account. It's not in the most wealth I have are sitting in these seats here tonight. Hallelujah. It's in my family. It's in those, you know, those things. Praise the Lord. And one of them's at home. Praise the Lord. That's part of my wealth. Hallelujah. That's my dog. Hallelujah. She's a good girl. But you know what I'm saying? That's the greatest wealth. Now, that wealth that the Bible's talking about does include financial wealth. So I'm not excluding that. But I'm saying the greatest wealth I have is in those relationships. Amen. And those things don't entangle me. Those things don't slow me down. You know, my wife and I, we talk often about our relationship, but to run in the plan of God, I literally have to be able to run without her hindering me. If she's slowing me down, then I'm not going to do the things that God has me to do. And conversely, if I'm slowing her down, she's not going to do. And so we have to be willing to run together. Amen. You know, it's like a three-legged race, praise the Lord, in a marriage, but also in other things too. You have to be willing to run together. As a church body, we have to be willing to run together because it's like a multiple-legged race. Amen. But imagine, okay, three-legged race is hard enough, but imagine if you have 20 people tied together and half of them don't want to run. What happens if you have 50 people tied together and half of them don't want to run? What happens if you have 100 people tied together and they don't want to run? This is why God generally can move in a smaller group easier than he can move in a bigger group. Because a church of 50,000 people, I'm just going to tell you right now that most of those people are not running together. And in fact, in any given church, most of the people are not running together. We need to find a place, that place where we can get together and run together. Amen. We need to be able to run towards the plan of God. Because our question should always be, what is the plan of God? plans, his plans, his purposes, and what we pursue. You know, there's an awesome, Brother Hagin wrote a book about it, but they have several sermons on YouTube. You ever want to listen to a good sermon, listen to Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits by Brother Hagin. There's like at least three different, what's that? Kenneth E. Hagin, yeah. Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. It's on YouTube. It's really easy. You just get there. It's free. Right? Amen. I listen to it several nights when I go to bed. The other day I was listening to it while I was up. You know, it's so good because, you know, you can, you know, Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. We don't want to labor in vain. We don't want to do things in vain. Amen. So as a people of God, we need to follow his plan. But this, I want to get back to what I was saying there in 1 John, because in 1 John 1:5 through 7, we see this concept that we see often throughout Scripture, and that the Bible talks to us a lot about walking and how we walk. You know, be careful how you walk. Walk circumspectly. Did I say that right? You know, there's all these different references to how we walk. You know what that means? We have a decision on how we walk. It means that we choose which path. When we have a path presented before us, God ain't making us go down one path. Yeah, yeah. God will lay out in his spirit. Now listen to me. Listen to me here. God will lay out in his spirit. He said, this is the path I have for you. You choose whether or not you want to go down it. Yeah. When it turns to the right or to the left, you have a choice. Do I go left or right? Yeah. His spirit will say right's the right way to go. Right. But you might be pulled to the left. Say, well, you know, but this is what I want. You know what I mean? God's plan is blessing, and that's where trusting God truly comes in. Because if we really trust God, if we believe God, you know, Jesus said, believe on me. Hallelujah. What does that mean? It means you trust him. You place your trust on him. Again, I've spent so much time in Psalm 37, verses 3, 4, and 5, where it talks about committing your way to the Lord and trusting in God. It says, trust God and do good. Amen? Commit your way. He said he'll give you the desires of your heart. I'm just giving you a bunch of points in there. But all these things are said. Commit your way to the Lord. Say to the Lord, Lord, my way is your way. That's what I want. Amen. But see, what we do is we add things because we see we have needs. We see we have desires. And we add things. I said we add things. You know, so often, yes, you need to work and stuff like that. But God can change that. You know, so often in my life, God has done things that I can't explain. You know, every time that God's moved on us, it's been in ways that we couldn't figure out. So why do we sit there trying to figure it out? You ain't God. You don't need to know. You'll need to, if you have the Holy Ghost in you and you follow the Holy Ghost, you will know when you need. He said, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. If you can't bear it, you don't need it. But when you can bear it, he'll give it to you. Right? Amen? Some people can't bear anything. What does that say about them? They've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. They've been given the plan of God. They've been put forth into his purpose, and they can't bear anything. And they can't bear it because they're generally what they're doing. You know, I've told you about this picture I drew before. It was kind of revelation to me. But it's a man standing on the edge of a cliff. A cliff. And he's standing on the edge of a cliff, and there's a rope that goes up into up. You can't see where it goes. A lot of times you can't see very far into the future, right? And that's what the metaphor was behind it. But the man had was standing there with, he had bags in his hands, both of his hands, and he had boxes, all his stuff around him, you know. And this, you know, obviously stuff just represented stuff. But the idea behind it was that the man could not climb up into what guy he was looking up, and he desires what's up there, but he couldn't climb because of all the stuff he's hanging on to. All the thoughts that he's hanging on to, all those things from the past, all those ideas that he had, he's hanging on to. And see, the thing is we can get so wrapped up in that stuff that we're so distracted from God, we just don't see him anymore. We don't see what he wants to do in us. And this is where so many people live, is they live in that place where God wants to take them higher. He wants to promote them and take them into things, but they can't get there because they don't step out and do those things. You know, and the thing is that they, it's not even that they, listen, I'm going to tell you something. If God's put something on your heart and there's things that distract you from it, or you can't fulfill it because of stuff, because of things, you have to understand that you're focusing in the wrong area. You're focusing on the wrong thing. When God gives us something, you say, okay, Lord, that's my direction. How do I get there? What do I put down? What do I continue in? Praise the Lord. Enlightening the Lord. I was talking to my wife, and I didn't sense that we have to get rid of our house or anything like that. But there's a lot of things I desire in life. There's a lot of things that just naturally I want. But my question is I have to pit those things against the knowledge of the Lord, which says, do those things weigh me down? Wow. Do they hinder me from going forward? If they do, I don't want them. Right. Even though I want them, I don't want them. Because all they'll be is they'll be weight to you. See, even when you get what you desire, if it's not right, it weighs you down. And then you wonder why you can't live in peace. You wonder why you can't live in freedom. It's because you're bound by your own affections and not by the word of God. Yeah. Jesus said, take upon you my yoke, because my yoke frees you. Yeah. The word of God sets us free, right? Yeah. When we abide in the word of God, when we abide in truth. What is truth? Of course, truth is the word, but God will lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit, his job is to lead us into all truth. All truth. All truth is not written on these pages. Again, I said, my wife and I, it's true that it's good that we are together. Well, at least it's good for me. Amen. That's true. Hallelujah. Sometimes I question whether it's so good for her, but praise God. God saw it fit, so it must be true. But it's truth. But you understand, that's an external circumstance. There's nothing in here about gravity, but does gravity work? Is gravity truth? Praise the Lord. Amen. You understand, there's nothing in here about eating copious amounts of bacon. Hallelujah. But the truth is, that's not good for you. Yeah. Right? You understand what I mean? So my point is that the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. Yeah. Let's turn there, John 16:13. I cannot tell you how much the scripture has been on my heart lately. So much so that even as I pray, God just keeps bringing me back here. John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Has he come? Yeah. We know he came on the day of Pentecost. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. He will guide you into all truth. This word guide is so important for us to understand. It does not say, we have to understand this about God. I'm going to go down a road here. It's going to teach you something. Amen? This will help you. God forces no man into anything. No woman either. God will not tell you, praise the Lord, that, for example, he will not tell you that a certain spouse is yours. He might say that this would be a good thing for you to go this way, but he won't say that you have to choose it. Praise the Lord. He won't make you do things. Hallelujah. He will tell you this is your church. But he won't make you go there. He doesn't say you have to go there. Amen. Some people choose not. They say, well, God didn't tell me to do that. Well, you don't need to be told. You just need to understand. Truth. Amen. The Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. As I said, with any guide, a guide just leads somebody. He doesn't pull somebody. He doesn't force somebody. He doesn't put a gun to their head and say, you got to come. He says, follow me. You decide whether or not you want to follow him. The Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. He will guide us into all truth. All truth mean everything, even things that aren't written in this. What's true in your life? What's things that you can find in your life that you can't specifically find in here? You understand what I'm saying? I am not saying that we live apart from the Word of God. Of course, the understanding of the Word of God, the truths that are laid out in here, these are supersede everything. But what is the truth to your life? The Bible doesn't tell us what town to live in, what church to go to, what religion to be. It just tells us to follow God. It tells us to follow God according to these principles. Amen? So he will lead you into all truth. He will show you things in your life that are truths for your life. For example, it may be in a truth in your life that you shouldn't be around this person. God's not saying he's thrown that person to the curb, but he just knows that that person won't be good for you. I'm not just talking about a relationship of husband-wife or something like that. Could be a friendship. Could be anything. Could be it could be family. Praise the Lord. That's the hardest. Amen? But sometimes there's times we have to limit family. Yeah. Why? Because they're doing things or they're living in ways that aren't suitable for God, and being yoked to them yokes us, puts weights on us to keep us from God. Amen? What keeps us from God? It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever keeps you from God, that's a truth. It's a truth that it's hindering your relationship with God. God has given us all things richly to enjoy. The Bible tells us that, right? He's given to us freely all things richly to enjoy. Hallelujah. But that does not mean that everything is yours. It doesn't mean that you can go to your neighbor's house and say, hey, God gave me this richly to enjoy. Amen? Don't come over and just sit on my couch. Like uninvited, come into my house, uninvited, sit on my couch. Yeah. Say, well, God gave me richly all things to enjoy. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, now he didn't give you my couch. Yeah. Hallelujah. I might share my couch with you someday, and that would be a good brotherly thing to do. You know what I mean? But, you know, God didn't, he didn't give you my wife to enjoy. Right. Praise the Lord. He didn't give you somebody else's husband to enjoy. Right. Praise the Lord. That's why we don't look at pictures. That's why we don't do things like that, because that, all that stuff, it's not mine to enjoy. Yeah, every woman is for me to enjoy. So I don't. I have to be careful about what I, you know, as a man, amen. Just like all men do. Praise the Lord. We have to be careful about what you want. But see, in the world, we're promoting so much of this. You know, you just look and you taste and you touch and you know do whatever you want to do. But that's not the will of God. Hallelujah. That's not the truth. Praise the Lord. So God, the Holy Spirit wants to lead us into all truth. So what we need is we need to know what the truth is. Now, you know truth by natural things, obviously, and stuff like that. But you know it by the Spirit as well. God does not lead us apart from the Spirit. He leads us in line with the Spirit, in line with the Word. Amen? Glory to God. He doesn't, so we don't just throw everything. The biggest thing I'm trying to get over to you is that the plan of God is so incredibly important for us. It's so incredibly important for all of us what we're doing. You know, that offering that I was telling you about, that we came together and we, praise the Lord, we were able to put together that offering. It wasn't a whole piece of the puzzle. That was one piece of that puzzle, amen, of that offering. But the fact that we came together and we did it, that was our piece of that puzzle. And the fact that we all did it, that we were able to do it, just speaks to our willingness to be part of that puzzle. You know what I'm saying? And so in doing so, you understand that when your pastor presents an opportunity before you, that's what it is. See, we look at times of giving. So many times we'll look at times of giving like times of, and a lot of people could have looked at it like that. They could have been like, and there's some people that probably did look at it like that. Oh, this is just a burden. No, it's an opportunity. The Bible tells us in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men pour into your bosom. Praise the Lord. He promises us that. The Bible says that a generous soul shall be watered. Amen. So if you want to activate, these are opportunities. You know, it's when we come together for church to hear from the Word and how we come together. That's an opportunity. It's not I don't have to be in church. See, a lot of times people take what the pastor's preaching on and hammering is saying, oh, they're trying to force you. I'm not forcing you into anything. I don't force. And you just ask anybody who's left me. I'm just telling you, I will reach out to people that leave us, but I don't chase them down. I won't. Why? Because Jesus didn't. You know what I mean? The people came to him. John the Baptist, people came to him. Praise the Lord. We have to understand that. Sometimes people, if you got to chase a whole lot, you got to question whether or not they're not running with you. Jesus told us that some people are going to leave us. And they said, the Bible tells us that it's evident when they do, it's evident that they were never with you. So it's speaking a spiritual truth that when someone leaves you, that they weren't with you. Sometimes people leave, don't get sad. Sometimes if people leave and they just don't want to be part of it, it's good they went. Yeah. I said it's good they went. And so we have to rejoice in these things. I'm not saying that we rejoice in somebody else's life that's not going to be fulfilled or falling apart, but if people just won't go, sometimes you got to cut them free. Yeah. Amen? And just let them be, because all they would do is become a weight. Amen. And so we understand that God isn't desiring us to stay in bondage or any kind of weight. He doesn't want anyone to stay in bondage. Praise the Lord. You know, I've heard a lot of sermons lately, people talking about how could God send people to hell and stuff like that. And God won't send anybody to hell. You know, I've learned that quite thoroughly. But I love what one man said as an answer to this question. He said, if you don't want God, he isn't going to force you to stay with him in eternity. Right. Hell is simply absence of God. That's really what hell is. God didn't create this place of torment specifically to be, he didn't come up with these specific torture devices and stuff like that to torture people. What God did was he removed his presence from that place, because hell is for a place for people who don't want him. You understand that? So God isn't going to force you to be with him in his presence. People don't want his presence here, and then they think that he's somehow mean. Because people end up going to hell. Well, listen, they go by their own choice. God gives us plenty of opportunities. But the same thing with the plan of God. He gives us, not every Christian fulfills the plan of God. Becoming a Christian is the first part, and so many people just stay there. But God's got a plan. All the time I see people. I see potential in people. And I see God's plan on them. And I see them walk away from it because they're distracted. If it distracts you from the plan, what is God speaking to your heart? Is what's going on in your life slowing you down from what God's been speaking to your heart? You know, understanding seasons and times and stuff like that. You know, if it is, then you have to question whether there's things that you got to lighten the load on. You got to question whether there's some things you got to let go. Amen. And so as we're people, as we strive for the plan of God, as we strive to walk at all that God has for us, we need to be people that are just going to be sold out to what God has. You know, we got to be people that are just sold out to what God wants and lay aside every weight. Be willing to go with him. Be willing to be yoked with Jesus. Because when you're yoked with Jesus, it'll be light and easy. Amen.